Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
You're listening to The Sound.
Like a blood, like California.
want to welcome you wherever you're joining us, whatever time of day or night you're listening to this today. If this is my new friends I talked to today, thank you so much for tuning in. It was a pleasure being in your Bible study earlier, and I hope you've joined me for ours this evening. I am pleased to have with me our co-host, which is Tammy Salt here. She is our girlfriend's Everett Washington Bible teacher, and also my sister, who's going to be doing a special feature on dreams and goals. So as I look around the room, I wish I could see everyone else that's listening to us, but we want to say a special hello to Newport Beach, California, and to Miami, and to Manila, Philippines. Just tonight.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So, Tammy, Sandra's going to give you a 12-minute rundown.
All right.
We are talking about The Lioness Arising by Lisa Bevere. We are very happy that we have ministered with Messenger International to supply our materials. If you would like to order one of the books, you can call Messenger International directly. You can find them on the web, or you can call us at 1-800-800-6121 for a donation to our radio program. Tammy, what do you have?
Well, I'm actually going to read the first portion of this because I think it's so important that our radio audience and those of you here in the audience that don't have books hear her vivid description of this vision. The year was 1994, and it was a night like any other in that season of my life. I had tumbled into bed later than I should have after a desperate attempt to put my house in order. As a pregnant mother of three sons, I slept deeply in those days. I would shut my eyes and fall right to sleep, only to be roused by the sound of alarm, children, or late morning sunlight streaming into my room. But this night, I fell asleep and woke at dawn, shaken to my core. In the pre-dawn hours, I'd experienced a vivid and unusual dream. Actually, to call it a dream makes it sound as though it came to me from a sleep or shadow. This imagery did not. I dream regularly, but not at this level of intensity. In my world of sleep, I found myself vibrantly awake. Before me was a scene set in another place and time. I sensed I was no longer walking the pathways of earth. I stood in some heavenly realm, a place of illumination without glare. Radiant light was everywhere and appeared to come from everything. There was no mist or shadow, only glorious color. These saturated hues of living color were comprised of shades so concentrated that I am without earthly reference to name them. The pigments were layered and multidimensional. For some reason, I best remember the tones of purple, but not quite our purple, and blue, yet unlike ours. There are no edges, sides, upper bow orders, yet the backdrop of color enwrapped what it showcased, an elevated platform of flawless cream-colored stone, and on this platform reclined a golden lioness. She was feline perfection, majestic, powerful, and richly textured. She didn't move, but there was no doubt in my mind she was alive. Far more alive than any earthbound animal I'd seen in motion. Her head was erect, but not tense. Her forelegs stretched out in front of her. Her fur and eyes gleamed golden. Beneath her flawless tawny coat, I see every curve of her perfectly formed muscles. This stunning still lioness was far more substantial, vivid, and vibrant than any of the lionesses that now walk our earth. I couldn't help thinking I beheld a heavenly prototype. Etched on the front of this flawless pillar platform were both a word and a Roman numeral, Numbers 23. In contrast with this lioness, my form felt transparent, insignificant, and strangely out of place. I felt detached from my body and unaware of being pregnant. I knew I was there to behold and see, to keenly observe, and in doing so, to learn something unrealized. I sensed an urgency to grasp the weight of the imagery. Even though I was alone with the lioness, I felt no alarm or threat. I felt only wide-eyed wonder, as though by seeing, my spirit was enlarged and connected. I absorbed all I could of what was around me. My focus shifted, and I looked into the eyes of the lioness. As I did, I heard a voice somewhere behind me announce, "With the birth of the sun, you will awaken a lioness." In a blur of golden light, majesty, and wonder, it was over. The next thing I knew, it was morning, and I was fully awake. All my senses were in a state of high alert, not out of fear as much as out of shock. What had I just witnessed? As time has passed, I have come to believe our earth is the time-tethered shadow form of partial revelation of what is original, timeless, and whole in heaven. So she went on, Lisa goes on, after that vivid vision to research and find out about lionesses and what that meant. She, as soon as she came into cognitive awake, she pulled her Bible into bed with her and looked up Numbers 23. And as she read along, at chapter 23, as she read along until she got to verse 24, it was, you know, it went on saying how powerful God is and how he's going to keep his promises and so forth. But she wasn't really excited because it didn't really put in perspective what her vision was until she got to verse 24, at which time it said, these people rise up like lionesses. Like majestic lions rousing itself, they refuse to rest until they have feasted on prey, drinking the blood of the slaughtered, Numbers 23:24. She sat there at that point trembling, thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is what I have to think about. Later on in this chapter, Lisa goes on to say that she was at a conference where there were a good handful of wonderful speakers, well in line with God's work. And there was a huge group of women, I want to say it was a women's conference, that had come to listen. It was such a sought-after conference that they actually, it was in Austria, they had the first conference at the church and then the second conference at an Auckland arena. And it was just packed. But she, during a break, she felt restless. She felt like she needed to pray about something, but she didn't know why. It was coming to her at that point what the restlessness was. She wasn't nervous because she was just repeating what she had already said in the conference before. Everybody that was there was there by choice. They wanted to hear what they had to say. All the speakers were in one accord. They were all God-driven, good people. But she still had this need to get alone and pray because there was something in her spirit that wasn't settled. So she gets to her hotel room. And she says that she's singing along to her iPod, and she's praying, you know, God, thank you so much. And she said she just started thanking God for things because she didn't know. She didn't know what it was he was trying to say to her. She wanted to clear her mind. She says, thank you, God. I want to thank you so much that the book is done. The first book that she had written. And she describes writing a book as giving birth. And those of us who have given birth or been around somebody that's given birth, it's a pretty painful process. And if you read Lisa's books, I can see that. She really gives herself in these books. So I'm laughing and thinking, oh, that's just funny, you know. And she says that all of a sudden she hears God say, I am sorry. Oh, because she says, I am not going to write a book anytime soon. I am so done with that process. This is exciting. I'm done. I can close that chapter. God says to her, I am so sorry to hear that, Lisa. And my thought, when I hear her say this, my thought is her heart probably dropped, are you kidding me right now? But her first thought was, what? You need me? God needs me? And I thought, well, you go, Lisa, because that's not what I would have said. I would have said, are you kidding me? So God tells her, I am releasing strategies from heaven. You're not going to have all these strategies by any means, but you are going to have a number of them. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of interesting, you know, to be told that you're given strategies. And God made it very clear to Lisa, if you don't bring your part, the rest of it's not going to make sense. You know, if you don't write what I tell you, what I show you in visions and what I speak to your heart, my lionesses are going to be left without understanding because you didn't bring your piece of the puzzle. And I thought, wow, that's really exciting. So Lisa was told that she needed to study and learn how works, what everything there was to learn about a lioness. And she came to us saying that she was originally going to try to tell this story without her vision because she wanted to show the likeness, but it became very clear that that vision was not hers, but it's all of ours. And it was a vision she needed to share with every one of us. And I'm glad she did because that vision was so vivid that I can see it through her words. And so as this study goes on, we are going to learn what it means to awaken the lioness in you. And I was really excited, too, as this chapter comes to an end, Lisa learns, well, in that actually in that same setting, Lisa learns through a lot of trying to turn into this lioness and being flat out told, you know what, there's no way you're going to be a lioness by the time your baby's born. And she was a little bit off-put by that, embarrassed, maybe a little bit insulted. But, she, you know, this is after the baby's born. She's written a book. Things are going on. You know, maybe it's 6 months, a year later. And God says, Lisa, I told you that with the birth of your son, you would awaken a lioness. I did not say you were the lioness. And her comment of that is, you know, she all of a sudden saw how human her perspective of those words were. And that's something that we always do. And we're going to learn through this series how to see what God truly means by his words and how to awaken the lioness in all of us.
Love it. Well, the one way that we arise a lioness is finding out where our purpose is and finding out what our dreams and goals are in life. And so Debbie was telling me what her special feature was going to be off the air, but I think that we need to have it on the air. She's been reading a very good book, and since we haven't, we've already just kind of watched one of Lisa Bevere's videos last week, and next week we're going to actually have Pastor Johnny's going to come in and talking about the strength we have in Christ. I think it's a great time for us to kind of look and see, you know, where we should put some of our strength in our life, some of our vision, some of our purpose, and that is where our dreams and goals are. So, Debbie.
Okay, so this is from a book called The Richest Man Who Ever Lived, King Solomon's Secrets to Success, Wealth, and Happiness by Stephen Scott. I really enjoyed this book. My husband and I did a little road trip, and I started reading this to him, and I said, you know, I stopped, and he goes, no, keep going. He wanted me to read this thing the whole time because it's just chock full of information. When you start reading the writings of King Solomon with Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, it's like every little sentence, you could go on and on about it, you know, about the truth that there is in his writings. So I just did a couple little bullet points from this book. I'm about halfway through, just a little bit of bullet points. So first of all, the keys to success from Solomon, Proverbs 22:29 says, a man diligent in business will stand before kings. In Proverbs 20:11, he says, even a child is known for his doings, whether pure or right. So never give up. People notice your work, you know, and it's so true even about children. You know, we already see, you know, what kind of strengths and that children have, even at a very young age, you know, what they excel at. So so it also says, run from get-rich-quick schemes. Proverbs 28:19 says, till the soil and be satisfied with bread, but don't follow vain people. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity, which vanity is something that looks good from the outside but really doesn't have any substance, will be diminished. But by labor shall we increase. You know, gamblers and lottery winners often end up in debt again. You know, it's like a get-rich-quick thing, but then they go right back to whatever status they were at before. Proverbs 14:21, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. So talk is cheap. I think everybody knows that. It reminds me, I was getting a new phone, and the guy was explaining to me, okay, so if you just have talk on there, it's not going to be very much, but then, you know, you start adding data, that's going to be more text and so forth. And I said, so you're saying talk is cheap? He said, yes, I am. I'm saying talk is cheap. That's what makes me think of talk is cheap. Anyway, laziness results in more laziness. Proverbs 24, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It's too cold out. I'm going to stay in. Mm-hmm. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. So we're going to start talking about our dreams and goals. So what should we do? So the first thing is stop procrastinating. Proverbs 6:9-11 says, when will you get up from your sleep? You know, come on, let's get going. Poverty will come upon you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. So you need to get going, you know. For instance, 80% of Americans consider themselves overweight. Well, why don't, well, they know what to do to lose weight.
And the other 20
are in denial. No. But the big thing is procrastination. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Well, you know, I'll wait until after holidays, and then I'll start. You know, there's always that procrastination so that you don't get there. The second thing is define your vision. Proverbs 28:19 says, without vision, people perish. Vision, direction, motivation, joy, and passion. You know, I think about Heidi. One of the times that I saw her the very most excited was when she started a chef's class. And I was giving her a ride there and back. And when I first brought her there, she seemed like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. And she was really down. And when I picked her up, she was so excited. And it made me excited. It was just, I just felt the joy. Fill the car when she got back in the car with me, and then when she graduated with her big chef hat, just pure joy, love it, love it. You know, a vision.
Purpose
she had a vision too. And purpose.
Yeah.
Right. Three is effective partnering. This is very important. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And you know, Deborah's sitting here, and I was thinking about. You know, that we went to a Christian life coaching class. And this is something that is very important, to have advisors and counselors and mentors, knowledge and skill to help us achieve our vision. Personal coaching is very popular, and you can partner, you can hire people that that know more than you. You know, my husband and I were talking about doing some real estate things. And and he was talking about bringing in two partners and that know more than we do. One that's done a lot of real estate and another one that knows how to build. And I said, well, we don't really need these people. Let's just do it ourselves. Why should we cut these people in? And after I read this, I thought, he's right. How long would it take us to to have that learning curve, to learn all these things that these people have been in for 20 years, or to even contact Tammy's husband that's, you know, a real estate appraiser and say, hey, take a look at this. What do you think? Well, he has 20-some years of experience, too. You know, it makes a lot more sense to partner with somebody,
you know,
if they have the same vision.
Partnering, too, I was looking at a different way. I'm teaching a leadership conference on Saturday at a camp, and I was thinking, you know, how do we learn how to love people that are unlovable? By partnering with Christ and seeing how he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't know how to love somebody, if we don't know how to forgive somebody, accept someone, serve someone, the greatest person, I love what Dad said in his sermon on Sunday, if you want to follow a great leader, follow one that's been hurt, that's still leading. Not somebody that's been hurt that quit, but somebody that has been hurt in leadership and has not quit. And he said, because they understand and they know and they're still leading, and who is the best hurt leader we know is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just so powerful.
Right.
But partnering in with how God treats people,
mm-hmm.
more than how anybody else does.
That's my next point.
Oh,
or actually that point is coming up. 70% of businesses fail and 50% of marriages and a little bit more. But you can cut that by 2/3 if there is counsel first in the marriage or about the business.
And do you know why the divorce rate has gone back down to 50%? Because there's so many people not getting married.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Right.
Isn't that sad?
So what is the fuel that helps us achieve our vision? What do you think it is? Hope. A vision is a clear goal with a detailed plan and a timetable. As you take steps towards your goal, you will gain more hope as you're getting closer to it. If you have a vision, you're not just drifting along in life. You have a goal, a purpose, a hope, a well-founded and confident belief that a specific vision can be achieved. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. When hope is deferred, you lose your emotional energy and your motivation. And we need to help others fulfill their needs and dreams and desires. And there's two ways that you can have your hope deferred. One of them is for someone else not to fulfill their commitment to you and say, oh, yeah, I'll help you do that, and they don't. And also not to have a defined goal. Proverbs 13:9 says, desired accomplishment is sweet to the soul. Don't you think that? I just thought, sweet. You know, you accomplish something, and when you're done, you feel so good about it. You know, whether you take a class you've completed or whatever it is, but when you've completed, it is very sweet to the soul. Roadblocks to success are, one of the things are how we treat people, just what Tammy was saying. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 12:18, your tongue can be a piercing sword or bring health. I think it's so interesting that so many times over and over again, Solomon talks about that your words bring health to people.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting.
Words. Yeah.
Pleasant words are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Stress causes inflammation, heart problems. Red blood cells are made in the bones, which is a big part of our immune system. And just talking to people in a positive way or a negative way can affect their health in that way.
For sure.
So it also says that he that answers a matter before he hears it is folly and a shame to him. So listen before you speak. If somebody's talking and you interrupt them and they haven't even finished what they're trying to say, Solomon says this is a shame. Shame on you. Always build up others and never tear them down. This will help heal their wounds. Always tell the truth in love. And finally, more about counselors and partners. Proverbs 13:8 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. Proverbs 20:18, every purpose is established by counsel. A single opinion is not good enough. You should have more than one. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, people fall, but in multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise. So if you hang out with people that are unwise, it's going to rub off on you. So you want to make friends with people that are wise, that can build you up, and someone to help you in troubled times. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if one falls, one will lift up his companion. So here is, finally, I know I just have a few minutes. Don't choose these kinds of partners. Here's what to look for that you don't want to choose. To partner with a thief, he hates his own soul. Proverbs 29:24. So don't partner with a thief. Now, this is not only just business, but somebody you're dating, somebody that you might marry. So consider that. An angry man. Don't partner with an angry man. So a lot of divorces could have been avoided. Proverbs 22:24, by looking at someone who's angry. Don't partner with a fool. Proverbs 14:7. You'll get used to his ways, and you won't be able to recognize wisdom from foolishness. Number four, someone who offers get-rich-quick schemes for very little money and effort, Proverbs 28, and a liar. Don't partner with a liar. And someone who uses flattery to get their way. Number six, a gossip, Proverbs 20:19. And finally, seven, lawless, someone that is lawless and no boundaries and rules don't apply to them. 28:7.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. 6121, and we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. our Executive Director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.